Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search The Rob O'Donnell Show or iHeartRadio platforms. It is 308, 80 degrees on this Friday, August 22nd, 2025. Yes, it's Friday. We made it through the week together. And hopefully you got some good plans this weekend. Pretty good. Pretty darn good. Nice cool nights. Sunny days. Afternoon shower possible on Sunday. But hey, we're getting ready for the work week. A little gloom and rain isn't going to hurt us all as long as we got our Fridays and Saturdays. How's everybody doing today? You made it through the week? Today's show, you know, looking through a lot of the stories that I have planned for you, are mostly local stories. With the exception of some breaking news that's going on now that we're going to get into, not breaking, earlier today, but it is a major incident in the northeast of the United States, so we will cover it. But again, most of the stories we do have today is local. Just before the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have EJ. Yes, that's it. EJ Samuels from Traffic going to come in here to talk a little high school sports for you because that's kicking off. So again, we're going to keep it real local today. And a lot of the stories, you know, I like to break them up between local stories, some state, some national, and maybe some world news. Today, you know, between yesterday and today, there's a lot of local stories we're going to get through. So if you want to hear some local news, we're going to have it for you today. But this story is tragic, and it's still ongoing. I have the map up from the area now. Multiple people have died. Over 50 were injured in a crash involving a bus on I-90 near Pembroke that occurred this afternoon, as per the New York State Police. State Police said at least one child is among the dead. Several other people are injured, along with multiple others that are trapped under and around the bus. Police said most of the passengers did not have their seatbelts on, resulting in many ejections. State Police said every person on the bus, which was going from Niagara Falls to New York City, had some level of injuries. Some of the persons on the bus are being identified as Indian, Chinese, or Philippine descents. The crash occurred around 12:40 p.m. near exit 48A eastbound. State Police said the bus lost control, went into the median, and turned over into a ditch on the side of the road. The bus did not hit any other vehicles. So this is either some sort of malfunction or driver error. Police said the driver of the bus is alive. New York State Thruway Authority said I-90 east and west is closed between exit 48A and exit 49 and asked drivers to seek alternate routes. Now that just sounds like two exits. I have the map up now, the traffic map for up there. And it appears that I-90, which circles Buffalo and then cuts east from that beltway, from the Buffalo-Niagara International Airport all the way till about Pembroke, just after Pembroke, appears to be closed in the eastbound direction and in portions the westbound direction in the vicinity of Pembroke. Also, Route 33 and Route 5, which parallel I-90, are both showing, obviously, extreme traffic because of the I-90 closure in both directions and in one direction for quite a few miles. So it is a distance from us, but it is also a major city, Buffalo, Amherst, right there, just south of Niagara Falls. If you've ever been up there, I-90 is a main thoroughfare that cuts across the entire state into Syracuse, all the way to Albany and down into Massachusetts and eventually into Boston. So in the Amherst area, just outside of the Buffalo-Niagara International Airport is where the eastbound closures begin. And again, it goes for a good dozen or so miles all the way past Pembroke. And then at Pembroke, both east and westbound are closed, causing major delays on the parallel interstates as well, Route 33 and I-5. Several Mercy flights were requested, as well as all Mercy flight ambulances. The president of communications at the local medical center had received a mass casualty notification. They are expecting patients to be transported to a hospital command center, where physicians and nursing staff were also being sent to the crash site to assist on the scene. They are calling all available off-duty medical personnel, trauma medical personnel, in at this time. Again, 50 injuries, multiple deaths, including a child at this time, as per the New York State Police. Connect Life is also asking for blood donations, and those interested are asked to call a local number for them. So that's what's going on up in the Buffalo area, just east of the Buffalo area. And again, that still right now, that highway, I'm looking at real-time traffic, and that I-90 is closed from the Buffalo-Niagara International Airport all the way past Pembroke in the eastbound, and then westbound it is closed around the Pembroke area. And again, both paralleling highways, Route 33 and Route 5, are also experiencing massive delays because of the rerouting of traffic. And there's also delays all the way back to Batavia, where people are trying to avoid that area altogether and getting off I-90 before they even get near it. So if you're headed that way or have loved ones in that way, you might want to give them a heads up to stay away. I'm sure it's been a major news story up there. I'm getting this from WIVB in Buffalo. That's their Channel 4 affiliate. And then some state police statements that have come out. So that's some updated news from the Northeast that's happening. If we get any updates on that, it appears that ABC is also running that during their news breaks. And I'm sure Paul Michaels will have something when he gives you his news at the bottom of the hour. So we'll keep our eye on that. Back here to our area. It appears Jessup has adopted ordinances that restricting data centers, and this is not a bad thing. They're looking out for their people, and that's exactly what they should be doing. And again, these data centers are not the boogeyman or woman, depending on how you want to look at the data centers. I'm not judging. But they also have to be done properly. And my biggest concern, the two things that I have, is are they going to produce their own power supply? And what's their cooling situation as far as groundwater? Obviously, where they are going to be is also a main concern, especially for the townships where they're located. Now, it's easy for me and a lot of you that these data centers are not being located in the township-wise to say, oh, it's a great thing. And it is a great thing if it's done properly, if it's done right. If there's areas where this does not interfere with the day-to-day lives of everybody and it's doable for the centers themselves and they can get power and create their own power, then let's do the right thing. But any future data center developments in Jessup must be built above the Casey Highway while adhering to more than a dozen conditions intended to protect residents. Borough Council unanimously adopted an ordinance this week amending the town's zoning to better address data centers. The ordinance creates a special zoning overlay district requiring any future data center proposals to be sited on industrial land above the Casey Highway. The legislation makes data center development conditional use, which means developers will have to attend public hearings and show that they can adhere to conditions in the legislation before council approves their project. It also addresses solar farms and wind turbines as well. Seeing moves like, and listen, I don't know any of the council members in Jessup. Well, let me caveat by stating that first. I don't know who they are. I couldn't tell you. I mean, their names are in the story. But other than that, I don't know them and don't know their background or their history. But this is where who you elect to these positions truly matters. And this goes for any township, not just Jessup. Any township. Archibald's another town that's looking at this. You know, there's Covington and Clifton looking at this. And the Goldsboro area could possibly be looking at this. Who you elect to these positions is extremely important. It can't be just the good guy or girl, the person we know, or name recognition, or a connected person. It needs to be someone who has a little bit of experience in what they're doing here. And that has not always been the case in our townships. It's not been the case in my township over the years. It's not been the case in a lot of townships that I've dealt with, especially on the government level, to where they really didn't have a clue for a lot of things. But they were a nice person, and they promised the right things. This is the future of your lands generational. these data centers, where this industry goes, where other industries goes. So it could be warehouses. It could be cold centers like Covington has already become accustomed to and warehousing. It's truly important that you pay attention to and you look at the resume and the experience. And also, if we elect you to be our township supervisors, if we elect you to run our community, to be a councilman, what are you going to do to better your skill set, to better your knowledge, to be a better matriarch or matron of this township and vote the way the people expect you to and in the best interest of all the people? What training are you going to go to? What classes are there statewide, locally, nationally, where you can come up and get up on these things? Because these data centers have influxed us so quickly in such a short amount of time, where is the industrial complex? And I understand they're the ones who want this, but you know, the Penn State's extensions, the Harrisburg. I know they just had a big question and answer here where they brought a lot of people together. But where are the trainings to where these individuals can go to? Where are townships looking? Hey, where are these data centers now? And can we schedule a visit? Can we schedule a meeting, even by Zoom, with those council members? If there's data centers in New Jersey or New York presently right now, are you reaching out to these people and sitting down and says, okay, what did you do leading up to the process? Now that the process is here and you already have the data centers or they're already being built, what mistakes do you think you made? What would have you done better? What do you think you'd change? In hindsight, this is how good government works. This is how people who want to lead good government ensure their personal knowledge to do what's best. So they can say, hey, I didn't know a lot about data centers, and I'm sure a lot of people in our area don't. Why would we? It's new. But I reached out to the town councils or the township leaders in these areas that have them now, and I scheduled multiple calls and multiple meetings, and I'm even planning a site visit. These are the things I want to start hearing from the people in Jessup, from the people in Archibald, from the people in Covington and Clifton Township that lead those communities. Where are you reaching out to where these have already, where it's a, before us in the process? They're advancing. They're ahead of us. What are we learning from their mistakes and successes that could better situate us and better situate the people who are going to be neighboring these facilities, possibly working at these facilities, impacted by these facilities? What kind of environmental studies have already been done in these areas where they said, hey, we didn't think of that, and now we're dealing with this? So I applaud Jessup from getting ahead of this and saying, hey, these got to be in industrial areas. We don't want them neighboring people. Archibald might want to take a look at that, because some of the industrial centers or some of the data centers that they're looking at is right up against not only residential, but you have Valley View School District, which is right down the road. You know, if these data centers and their cooling provide a whole lot of noise, especially during the winter where there's not a lot of foliage, you know, are our school districts going to have to deal with loud humming noise, which is something that we learned in Covington with the industrial area, where their cooling centers and their trucks idling constantly with deliveries, we're causing noise issues. We're causing quality of life issues. We don't need that causing learning issues with our schools like, say, Valley View, which, again, there's a couple of these data centers planned pretty close to that. And when you don't have the foliage on the trees, that sound makes a difference. I mean, from my property, because I live on top of a mountain, once the leaves fall, I-81 is probably 6 miles, 6.5 miles from my house. I could hear trucks going up and down it, especially at night, pretty clearly from my windows if they're open. So if you have a data center a mile away and they have these huge industrial fans blowing to cool an entire building to what is said to be pretty extensive cooling, is that noise, is that hum going to affect our school districts, going to affect the learning process? You know, it's amazing what you get used to after a while. I grew up and was born and raised right next to LaGuardia Airport. I don't think I could do that now, but after a couple of weeks, it would be fine. You know, my children live right near a Navy base where F-18s take off every 5 minutes. You get used to it after a little bit. But these are things that we should be looking at, and I want to see these borough council members, these township leaders, reaching out to other areas, and I don't care where they are. Zoom is a beautiful thing. You could talk to anyone anywhere and get the lay of the ground. What would you do different? What was a success? What did you do that you think was a great thing to do then? Where did you fall short? These are things, and those are hard conversations to have. People don't like to admit, well, they screwed up. But open concept, open conversations like that, even on a confidential level, to say, hey, this is just between us so I can guide my community better, is a good thing I'd like to see leading from the front. So it's 3:24 here at WILK. Time for a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:27, 81 degrees. Got some text messages in. Rob, the windmills provide power for out of state, and we don't benefit from the windmills, and we have to look at them. Our property taxes keep going up, and we have natural gas plant in Jessup, and taxes keep going up. Nothing good comes out of this for the people in the valley. And listen, there is a lot of good tax rise that go to the school district and the township from the gas plant, I heard. The windmills, I don't know much about. But it needs to affect the people. It needs to affect every property owner in these places where these things are built. There needs to be a benefit. And that needs to be written in whatever legislation, whatever zoning. And it can't be a dollar amount. It needs to be a percentage. Because the dollar amount, A, is not guaranteed. It is unsure, and it fluctuates. So there needs to be a property reduction percentage when places like this get put into this. There needs to be a felt benefit to every property owner in these areas. And it needs to be property owner or taxpayer. I'm sorry if you rent there, if you just live there. You're not paying property taxes. I understand you're using the services, and that's why the place that you're renting from pays property taxes. But there needs to be a property tax reduction, and that could be on the school district level, on the township level, on the state level, something. There needs to be property reduction percentage-wise for these entities being in your backyard, for being your neighbor. There needs to be a benefit. The proposed data center in Archibald will replace a junkyard and a low-end trailer park. I don't see a downside. Well, based on what it's replacing, there may not be a downside, but what about the homes that are right near it and a neighbor to this center? What are the guarantees for noise? What are the guarantees for power? What are the guarantees for water use? So looking at it singularly like that, saying, oh, it's just replacing a junkyard, which is an eyesore anyway, and there's a trailer park there that's also an eyesore. Well, there's real people that live in that trailer park. We talked about that 2 days ago, and I understand. I drive by it all the time, and I drive by the junkyard all the time. Losing them is not a big deal, but where it's being put and what impact does it have on the surrounding communities? There's a townhouse complex right next to it. There's homes on the other side of it. Right below it in the valley, there's more homes. You have a school district that's less than a mile away. What impact is there going to be? I mean, I personally know people near the Covington industrial area that sold their house and moved because of the noise presented by those cooling centers. So all I'm saying is that you need to look at this holistically to the entire area. Also, we have we're up against the news break anyway. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Somebody said let them build a group of low-income housing units for the trailer park people. Well, then they should be the only ones that benefit from the use of the data center, from the benefit of the data center. No, it shouldn't be just any group. It shouldn't be any group at all, be it the data center investors themselves, to the power companies, to everything. It should benefit everyone as close to equal as you can get. And that's the taxpayers of that area where it's going to be put. Now, obviously, you don't invest in an area to lose money. You invest in an area to make money. But there also has to be the benefit of that spread around. So we'll keep us up on that. I do not often agree. Well, let me go to some breaking news now. And I said I'd keep this local, and I will in a second. But the Department of Justice just today has released the audio and transcripts of the Ghislaine Maxwell interview. And basically the gist of it is and again, they were just released today. It is some breaking news on the TV that there are talking about it. But basically, she stated she never witnessed inappropriate behavior from former Presidents Trump or Clinton. So that's kind of it in a nutshell from what I could gather at this time. Now, that's an oversimplification, yes, but it's not going to make either side happy as far as if they were looking for the dirt on somebody there. So that's some of the update there. Five townships are suing Lackawanna County over ambulance dispatching protocol. Now, the county says ordinances cited by Covington, Jefferson, Madison, Roaring Brook, and Springbrook townships are too limiting. And I agree with the county here. I agree with the 911 system. You dispatch the closest available unit when it comes to ALS, advanced life saving, advanced life support. Now, I understand that townships like Jefferson, Madison, Roaring Brook, Springbrook have a financial obligation to provide EMS services. And it's cheaper for them and more financially beneficial for them to use their own in-house units rather than to be billed for outside units that need to respond. I don't care. Now, I understand you want to budget financially and you want to do what's best for your bottom dollar, so you could provide as much service as you can for the money that you do have available. And mind you, funds are limited when it comes to these things. But when it comes to someone needing advanced life support and they're calling 911, who's ever closest needs to get there. Now, basically, based on their ordinances that they passed, if they have an advanced life support in service, that needs to be the one dispatched. But that could be across town. It could be across the county. It could be coming back from an ambulance, a hospital run to the hospital. As long as it's in service, their ordinance for that township says that's the one that needs to be dispatched. No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. And I think the court is going to see this through pretty quickly. Whoever's closest for advanced life support needs to be the one dispatched to that unit. And the county 911 system has a GPS where they know exactly where every in-service unit is. And they can see and designate electronically which one is closer, which one has the fastest response time, and will dispatch that one regardless of your ordinance. Ordinances look good on paper, but in reality, when you're gasping for air or bleeding out, it really doesn't make sense much. So I agree with the county here and their emergency service and their 911 system that, and I don't think this lawsuit's going to go anywhere. And when it comes down in a court case, because this is now bringing them to court, these five townships are suing Lackawanna County over ambulance dispatching protocols. Do you really want on record, if you're coming from Covington, Jefferson, Madison, Roaring Brook, and Springbrook, that you're putting the bottom dollar above public safety? That's not really a good look. it's really not going to go good in your court proceeding and depositions, that you're doing this for financial reasons rather than the best interest of the patient. So I'd highly, listen, being a resident of Lackawanna County, and every resident of Covington, Jefferson, Madison, Roaring Brook, and Springbrook are residents of Lackawanna County. We don't need our tax dollars fruitlessly spent on needless lawsuits. And especially if you're in one of these townships, you really don't want it brought on the record that you're putting your financial interests ahead of the interest of public safety, because it's not going to look good. So again, I agree with Lackawanna County here. We'll see where this goes through. We will follow it. And I think it's just a bad look when response time and seconds matter. And I don't care if it's 30 seconds. I don't care if it's 15 seconds. You want the most advanced, closest unit to be dispatched to your location, regardless of your ordinance. And how they're seeing that otherwise is beyond me. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:46, 81 degrees. Got another text. And again, you can call or text 570-883-0098. Got another text. These politicians will promise you anything and everything to get the zoning changed. Then every excuse why they can't follow through with their promise. But hang in there. It's coming. Give us a little more time. Sounds familiar, right? Nope. It needs to be in writing before anything's ever approved. And again, a specific percentage on how it's going to reduce your property tax. Because we keep, promise after promise. Remember, the casinos, going to do away with our school tax, going to do away with our property tax. Homestead and farmstead gave a little relief, but then it was all disappeared by increases. The power plants, nope. No property relief there. And you have to look at the amount of money that the townships get, that the counties get from these entities. That's the question that also needs to be asked. What is the tax benefit to Jessup if this data center is built? What is the tax benefit to Archibald or Covington or Clifton specifically? What are they going to see? What are they estimating their tax base to increase by? Okay, well, are you increasing service in any way? Are you doing anything different? Well, then you just made up a large portion of your budget that you could give rebates to every taxpayer in your township, in your county. But it never works that way. School districts got a lot of money from that gas-fired power plant, right? Did your taxes get lowered in that school district? No. It was extra money for them. It's extra money for the townships. It's extra money for the county. That's not the way this needs to be looked at. We need to redesign the way it's looked at. It's not extra. It's replacing, and we need refunds. We need rebates. Unless you're buying four new fire trucks and increasing your fire staff by 20 and increasing law enforcement presence because this power plant is here or this data center is here, or getting more public works trucks. Then we want rebates. We want our taxes reduced. And until that starts happening, listen, I'll give you a prime example. Alaska. Every property owner in Alaska gets a check because of gas and oil exploration in Alaska. You know anybody that lives there? Ask them. They get a check every year because they are stewards of their land. It is their land. They live there. They pay property tax there. Gas and oil is extracted from their land. So hence, they get a check every year. You have a gas lease on your property here in Pennsylvania. They're extracting. You're getting a percentage of that. You're getting a check either monthly or annually, whatever your contract says it was. Why is it different? It's not extra money for these entities. It should reduce their tax need from us, the overburdened taxpayer. It's 3:50 here at WILK. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. So the Lackawanna County Energy Center, almost 1,500 megawatt natural gas-fired plant in Jessupboro, Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania, is expected to generate significant revenue for the borough of Jessup over its operational life. According to available information, the plant contributes approximately $50 million in revenue to the borough of Jessup over the life of the project. Additionally, during the construction phase, Jessup received $250,000 per year for at least 2 years with an agreement that guarantees a 10% increase in payments every decade. Anybody in Jessup get a rebate on their taxes? Because the borough is taking in a lot more money. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And then if you look at the tax base to both the school district and the county, there's additional there. No one saw any discounts, right? Valley View, your taxes went up. Lackawanna County, I know your taxes went up because they're mine too. And residents of Jessup, have you seen taxes being slashed in your borough? Guess we'll have to just wait and see. But we need to learn as we move forward with things like a data center. And that's where all this question started. Pharmacy closures are causing a huge impact here in Northeast Pennsylvania, if not Pennsylvania alone. Pharmacies are disappearing across Pennsylvania, leaving some patients with fewer options and longer journeys to access the medications they need. I know this firsthand. I've been dealing with it for the past week when Rite Aid closed. They sold their prescriptions to CVS. That information was not well documented. I've been fighting with CVS for over a week now and my doctor's office trying to get it straightened out. I had, thankfully, all the paperwork from when I picked up my medication last, and they're saying that I picked up my medication last week, so it's not due for another 2 weeks. And I said, no, I picked it up 4 weeks ago. It's due this week. Nope, you know, here it says you picked it up on August 4th. So I called my insurance carrier, and they confirmed that my last copayment was paid 2 weeks ago and not on the date they're telling me. So, okay, they fixed that. Well, then they need additional documentation. Listen, you bought these prescriptions from Rite Aid. Rite Aid is closed. I cannot contact them. They are no longer in existence. And then trying to get my doctor back in touch with CVS. Well, we have your prescription. It's already been approved at Rite Aid. I understand that. Rite Aid closed. It's CVS now. And then my insurance carrier, Express Scripts, is like, why don't you just get this done through us? We'll send you a 90-day supply. Yeah, you're damn right, because CVS can't seem to get it right. So this is medication that I need to take. It's already a day behind. And called CVS at least six times, called my doctor's office six times, called my insurance carrier two times where they said, listen, we have everything right here. You're all approved. You made a copayment on this day. Yes, you can get your medication if they submit it. First of all, we caught CVS lying to us, saying they submitted it and my insurance carrier said it's not due yet, where my insurance carrier said, no, this was the last submission we have. They never contacted us, CVS. Last submission was by Rite Aid. So basically, because they got incomplete paperwork, you know, no one wants to go and be beyond doing their job. So us, the patients, left in limbo. Now, thankfully, I have choices. Thankfully, it will get worked out. Eventually switch it to Express Scripts to where I don't have to refill it every 2 weeks. I can go 3 months. And that's what more convenient for me. I just didn't realize that Express Scripts was able to do the type of medication I need because they didn't in the past. So I'm going to do away with our local pharmacies altogether. And I know CVS, Rite Aid, they're chains. But, you know, they're putting themselves out of business as well. Rite Aid's already out of business. CVS is on its way there because I'm switching to Express Scripts, one of the mail order now. So the local jobs that CVS provides, the local pharmacists that work there, they can keep pushing people away to where they won't have a position like Rite Aid did. And that's just going to be harder for the everyday people. Now, thankfully, there are local pharmacies like DePietro's and stuff like that that do a great job. They're just a little too far from me, where I live. But just the back and forth that I've had with CVS this week has pushed me to a major conglomerate mail order prescription refill, Express Scripts. And they did that themselves because, you know, no one really cares. No one's going to go above and beyond. They're like, well, you need to call your doctor and have him call us. Well, you know what? When you call my doctor, it says if you're a pharmacy or doctor, press 1 and you get directly through. Where when I call my doctor, I get a voicemail and then maybe get a call back. And I've done that 3 times. Then I even pressed the 1 or 2 and spoke to someone and they took a message for the nurse, but that's as far as it went. So now I'm a day behind in medication that needs to be taken regularly. I'm sure there's a lot of other people with a lot worse situation out there. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.